Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!
So welcome, everyone, to the LFC Podcasting Couch. It's already recording as per usual, but this is the very first YouTube live video recording of the Podcasting Couch. And I figured instead of just having my ugly head on the whole time, I thought I'd welcome a couple of people who I'm still trying to convince Maddie to turn his on. But big time, Maddie Lyon, are you on the line for us? Good sir.
I'm here, Nish.
Hey, beautiful. So he can see me. I can't see him. But soon enough, with enough enticing, I'm sure he'll turn on the webcam. And we do have another person. You heard her at the start of the pod, and she's currently, was it contouring your head?
Yes. My face.
Contouring.
My cheekbone.
She's contouring. As soon as she's finished contouring her face, she'll turn on the webcam, apparently. So stick around if you're here just for her, which is more than likely, since you definitely don't want to see this mug all day. We'll see how this goes. Hopefully we get a lot of views thanks to you. So thanks a lot, Roops. Appreciate you coming on. Is this your second, third time you've been on the couch?
Second, I think.
Second.
Second.
Who knows? Second. We'll call it second. Sounds fine. Anyway, let's hop straight into it because we just had that fantastic nil-all draw. You know, it's everyone's spectacular Manchester United level of quality nil-all draw. Which luckily Arsenal beat Man United, so that means that they're still 4 points behind. Arsenal won again last night, which happened to send Twitter into absolute meltdown. I woke up to 1,000 bloody notifications on my phone about people raging out and being upset. Am I supposed to be upset? What's going on, Maddie? Give us your take. Do you think it's still safe for four?
I wouldn't say safe. I think I've said all along that there are no easy games in the Premier League, and when we're expected to roll teams over and automatically secure 3 points, it doesn't always happen, and people tend to overreact when it doesn't happen. It is a very competitive league, and obviously the competition for the top four is fiercely competitive, and there are very, very big teams up for that, teams with bigger resources than us as well, like Manchester City and Manchester United. And Arsenal have the experience, obviously, of qualifying every year for the Champions League by securing that fourth place spot. And they're coming strong at the right time.
As per usual.
Unfortunately.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Whereas we, unfortunately, are having a bit of a wobble, shall we say. And so West Ham is a big game at the weekend.
Yep.
And I wouldn't say it was safe. I think we can be reasonably confident, but we certainly have to step it up a gear and do a lot better than we did against Southampton.
Yep.
If we're going to get a result down south at the weekend.
Yeah, perfectly fair. A wobble is probably the nicest term I've heard for our current form. Thank you for putting
trying to be polite.
Yeah,
nice.
That's good. I like that. I've written a few pieces out, so apologies to anyone I've blocked on Twitter. I just have no time. It's no time to listen to that. I do like positivity, as you've probably told. I also wrote an article specifically about what negative Twitter comments can potentially do if you don't quite understand. I've tried to turn it into like talking about you and your life, and people who don't work yet, you probably don't get it. But have a read. It's on lfcpodcastingcouch.com. And go from there. And speaking about writing, Rupa, have you finished contouring yet?
Almost.
Can you?
I still got to do
things all over the place. Wow. Well, at least you're trying to make yourself look good for the very first premiere video version of the Podcasting Couch. So I appreciate the effort.
I'll just jump on.
Okay. Do you have time to give us any thoughts about the current situation, or do you want more time to do your thing and we'll get back to you?
I will give thoughts.
Okay.
Basically, I think I'm bricking it for Sunday. Like, I don't have a clue what's going to happen.
Yep.
Just because we've done good away from home, but at the same time, like, we only beat Watford 1-0, and that was just luck. Like, and even if we do get top four, we're going to bottle the Champions League. Like, West Ham and Middlesbrough are our most important games now. And if we're uncertain of beating them, how the hell are we going to beat teams like Real Madrid?
I don't think that's very fair. It'll be a radically different squad, hopefully. But when we do qualify for the Champions League, and so we should be a lot better placed and equipped to deal with the challenges of the European campaign when it comes. So, yeah, it's worrying. I agree, but I don't think there's any need to brick it. It's important that we get behind the team and make sure that we're going to the match of the weekend with confidence, because it can have an effect on the players. You know, the atmosphere at the ground. Obviously, we'll be away from home, but the away support is important. Yeah. And we're fortunate that we have brilliant away support and very vocal and powerful away support. And so I hope that they will transmit confidence and enthusiasm to the players. Because let's face it, you know, West Ham are a decent team, but they've had a poor season by their standards and expectations. And we should be going at them and hoping to get a result and be confident that we can get that result.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason to panic just yet. And also, if you look at the table, I think Arsenal, although they've got a game in hand, they're still 4 points behind us. So it's still in our hands. There's no need to worry that we have to rely on other people. We can just rely on ourselves, and we can get that last spot.
It's always good to have points in hand, for sure, and that's a beautiful thing. Even though they've got a game in hand, I'd much always prefer to have points in hand. But you're right. We have to always assume that they're going to win both their games and give us a tight push if we do not win both our final games. But to your point, Roops, about the Champions League, if there's one thing it's we've proven this season, is that we play our best football when we're playing the best teams. So with reinforcements next year, I'm 100% confident. I'm saying minimum quarterfinals for us if we get through.
Quarterfinals, really?
Quarterfinals of the Champions League, yeah.
I taught myself to not have high expectations.
You're so young, like, and you're already so bitter.
I'm positive. No, trust me, like, I go to these games home and away, and I always try and be positive. But travelling that far, like going all the way to Watford, just for a 1-0, like, I'm happy with a 1-0, I'll take the 3 points, but it's so frustrating, like, especially when you get to this point in the season, when you've been going to all these games, spending all your money, and you're not getting the results that you want.
Yeah.
And, like,
I can echo that. I went to the Sunderland away game that was on over the Christmas holidays, and to draw against them, I think we'd gone ahead twice against them as well. It was That was crushing, having to come all the way back from the northeast afterwards as well. But yeah, it's two games left, and we have to be confident that we can beat Middlesbrough, a relegated team who've got nothing to play for. I mean, those games are never foregone conclusions. Sometimes when teams are relegated, they play with greater freedom and there's no pressure on them, so they can actually sometimes perform better. But West Ham as well, you know, I mean, what are West Ham playing for? The motivation levels for them shouldn't be anywhere near as much as they are for us. And so we must want to win more than them at the weekend, and hopefully we'll get off to a flyer and start a lot better than we have been doing recently and get going to an early goal.
Yeah, I think that's going to make all the difference. If we can finally get an early goal against West Ham, I think it's going to change the entire mood of the squad. Speaking of the squad, shall we talk quickly about who we'd like in the squad? Just the front six, because I think that's the only part which has some confusion around it. Should we all agree straight up? Does anyone think Lallana shouldn't start?
I don't think so.
You don't think? Okay, cool. Now, I'll follow it on with, who do you think he should replace inside our squad?
No, I think he should start.
You don't think he should start?
No, I think he should.
Yeah. So who would he replace within our starting lineup?
Coutinho. I'd rather bring Coutinho on a bit later on.
Yeah, true. Like we did against, I've forgotten who they were, Burnley? Was it the Burnley game when him and Firmino came on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
No?
That was... West Brom.
West Brom. So I was going to say West Ham, yeah. And I went, we're about to play West Ham. I don't understand. Okay, I've never heard that one. So thank you for being a little bit sideways. I like it. It's very, very mysterious. I appreciate it. Maddie Line, well, where do you think, or who do you think Lallana should replace in our starting lineup?
I'd drop Lucas out and put Lallana into the midfield.
Sure.
I think we can afford to be more positive against West Ham than perhaps against some other teams.
Yep, totally.
And there seems to be a general view that it's important to have players coming off the bench. I was listening to the Anfield Rap podcast earlier this week, and they were saying, well, if you've got somebody like Lallana to come off the bench with 20 minutes to go, then that can have a real impact on the opposition. But I disagree with that. I think you should be starting the game and trying to get that early goal and impose yourself on the game right from the off. If the game's allowed to drift towards that 70-minute mark and it's still 0-0, Or even worse, you're 1-0 down. It's very difficult to change the game in a short period of time. And also, I think the anxiety and the stress of not having the game go the way that you want it to makes it difficult for the players as they go into the last part of the game. So, yeah, I think it's much more important to start well and impose ourselves on the game right from the off. And so I'd start with the strongest possible team that we can, fitness permitting, and yeah, I'd definitely have Lallana start. And then the other change I would make is that I would also, again, presuming he's fit enough, start with Sturridge over Origi. I don't think Origi has offered anything in the last few games, and he seems to be going through somewhat of a crisis of confidence. And we definitely need someone who will offer more and create chances and finish chances. And Sturridge showed that when he came on in the Southampton game, he made a real impact. So, yeah, definitely start with Sturridge as well.
Yeah, for sure. Makes complete sense. I was going to throw a little bit left field and go keep Sturridge on the bench, because then you get to choose either Origi or Sturridge to bring on. And I just want to see Trent Alexander-Arnold play right wing. Again, I don't think he will. That's just me wanting him to, because I'm a huge fan of our academy. And I think he'll just do the business, him playing in front of Klein, taking the crossing duties off Klein, and just tearing it up. He's just consistently on form for the lower leagues. He consistently looks way better than the academy in the under-23 leagues. And I think it would be great in these last couple of games to maybe just get him out there. And if it doesn't work, even after 40 minutes, or like Klopp did last time he started him, at half-time, just change him over. Get Sturridge on instead. But I genuinely think someone who's naturally able to play wide, which means Firmino can play central, which means Coutinho and Firmino can play in their normal combinations in central and left, I think it'll do the absolute business, and we'll get the goals that way. So that's just my thought.
I've got to disagree with you there, Nick.
I'm sure plenty will.
this is just too important a game. It really is. It's absolutely vital that we get Champions League football, and we need the most experienced and most capable players on the pitch against West Ham. I totally agree with you. I think Arnold is a very exciting prospect, and I'm sure that we will see a hell of a lot more of him next season, and that he will go on to become a key member of the team. But for now, it's just too big a risk. And I think Klopp will be conscious of what happened last time he threw a couple of youngsters in and had to change it at half time. And he won't want to make that mistake in such a high-pressure game as the one at the weekend.
Yeah, makes sense. I'm hearing a lot of shuffling and stuff in the background. I'm assuming that means either one of you's shuffling or Rupa's finished doing her makeup.
It's not me. It's not me. I'm almost done there.
Oh my god!
It's not me either. I'm sat here, perfectly still, apart from my mouth. So.
It must be Rupa. She's like getting on different faces and just like. It's like this one looks good.
All those makeup brushes rustling.
Nah, actually, I'm done with the makeup brushes.
All right.
Well,
okay. Trying on different outfits now.
No, I'm dressed. Thank you very much.
Good.
This is going to be really weird as a podcast, but if you're watching, You're not missing anything either, so don't worry about it. We'll wait. But Roops, do you have an opinion on Origi? Firstly, do you think he should play start against West Ham, i.e., do what Klopp loves to do and keep consistency?
I think I agree with you with keeping Sturridge on the bench. I think that it's good because I find that if he plays, say that he played like a full half, in the second half, he wouldn't give it everything. Whereas like when he came on against Southampton, he made a difference, but he didn't do anything. Like, I don't know.
It's the exact same problem. I don't know how to explain. I've got the same problem with both Rigi and Sturridge. They're both amazing off the bench to such a point that they play themselves into everyone saying they deserve to start. And then as soon as either of them start, they don't play well. It just it baffles me. They just don't take their chances. It was like bloody Barini. Remember Barini would come off the bench and score a goal or something, and everyone's like, he has to start. And every time he started, he would disappear for the entire game. He just would not get into it. So super frustrating. I think they're more dangerous off the bench, both of them.
The difference is, though, that Origi's had his chances in recent games and hasn't performed, while Sturridge, when he did come on, looked as though he was offering a great deal more than Origi. And the other thing is that, to me, Sturridge is a whole class above Origi in terms of his ability, but both in terms of finishing, game intelligence. He's a far superior player. If it wasn't for his fitness, there would be no question that Sturridge would be ahead of Origi every time, unless tactically the game required something different. But in a game that we need to win, for me, Sturridge has to get the nod even from the start, even if he gets pulled off later on, so that Klopp can try something different. But We need to win the game. We need goals, and he is, when he's fit, our best striker. So, yep, Sturridge all the way for me.
Yeah, fair call. Roops, do you think Origi, since you said Sturridge should be on the bench, do you think Origi should start, or would you replace him still?
Keep Origi. I'm just a big fan of Origi. I think...
That's fair enough.
I think at West Ham Borough, he can turn it around, and he will make all the difference. I've got faith in him.
Yeah, I put a lot of faith into him to the last game. I said, I'm completely resigned to the fact, and I said this a couple of days before the game, I'm completely resigned to the fact that Klopp will not change the team. I genuinely think he may still not even change it against West Ham. He might keep Lucas on there and not play Lallana from the start, just to make sure he doesn't break a leg or something, or tear another hamstring. So he could play the exact same team again because he loves consistency. The only time he didn't do consistency was when he went for like 42 games with 42 different combinations. And as soon as a reporter told him, he kept the consistency for the first time. So it was the only time we couldn't do it. So that was the only interesting thing. So I'm going to have to pause this and maybe end the podcast early because my better half has turned up. So sorry about this, guys, everyone out there. We're going to have to end the podcast early, but thanks, Rupert, and thanks, Maddie, for jumping on.
All right.
Sorry about that. We'll do another podcast later. Okay, see you later, everyone.
Cheers, Nash.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!